The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, 26 April 2018. And while we're talking about Israel and we're talking about the Middle East and foreign policies and countries we want to blow up, let's remind folks of the working document on this, the Project for the New American Century, and how the presidents are intertwined with this. This is a very, very good piece. There's some that's more visually important than audio, but it still gets the message across quite nicely. This is going back to a lot of the problems we're having right now with the supposed poor people in the Middle East that are tired of eating bombs, dodging bullets, and are trying to set up shop in other countries, which they're being, in some countries, welcomed with open arms, to the detriment of those countries, because guess what they're doing? They're not going there to assimilate into their culture. They're going to set up their own culture in their country. Here is George W. Bush, the deep state rat nobody expected, just got connected to 9/11.
September 2000. That was the month when an organization in America called the Project for the New American Century produced a document demanding that the United States fight, quote, multiple theater wars to regime change country after country. The countries they listed included Iraq, Libya, Syria. Who were these people? Well, they included Donald Rumsfeld, who a few months later would come to power with the Boy Bush administration as defense secretary. They included Paul Wolfowitz, who became deputy defense secretary. This process of transformation they were calling for, in other words, this regime change of country after country with multiple theater wars, would be slow in happening. Absent, this is the quote, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor.
17 of the project's participants would later take positions in the next White House administration.
The fact of the power down in itself was unusual. The fact that there were visitors to the tower, many in overalls, like engineers of some kind.
By the way, this is the World Trade Center data administrator Scott Forbes. And what you can't see in this presentation is debt cord, box upon box upon box in the World Trade Towers.
Wandering around the floors, carrying toolboxes and cables and so on. At the time, wasn't suspicious of it, didn't think anything of it.
You're going to see two big, bold numbers. It says BB18. Those are fuse holders. Now look at all three pictures and look at how many boxes of plastic fuse holders that can be used for remote control demolition.
But it will explode only when fused. And only when you want it to.
And folks, I wish you could see this, but there has to be more than 50 boxes of these fuse holders. 50 large boxes of fuse holders. Remember the contention? Well, the planes hit the towers and it was just too much fire and it weakened the steel and it just pancaked. No, these were charges that were strategically placed, remotely detonated, that brought down the Twin Towers. End of story. By the way, who was involved in this at the World Trade Center? Who was involved with the security at the World Trade Center and the airport at Boston? Marvin Bush. On the morning of 9/11, out of all the places George Bush could have been, he happened to be in an elementary school in Florida. The children were repeating what the teacher said. At first glance, they appear as random words unless you put them together. A kite is something that flies in the air that's controlled from the ground, like a drone, remotely controlled aircraft.
He sits there waiting for somebody to tell him what it is he must do. He is not an active president. He doesn't call for telephones. He doesn't issue a parade of crisp orders. He doesn't say, scramble every fighter, bring down all planes, close the borders, go to red alert. Nothing of the kind. He sits there, and we know that his press secretary, Ari Fleischer, is in the back of the room holding up a big placard saying, don't say anything. This is obviously not a president. This is a puppet. This is a figurehead. This is a ceremonial figure, if you like. He simply doesn't know what to do. He's got to be told what to do.
But you can go back to the war. How do you impeach a president for starting a war that John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and the Democratic majority supported?
Well, I wouldn't impeach him for that. I'd impeach him for sitting there for 7 minutes on 9/11 when he was told the country was under attack.
You would impeach the president for sitting there waiting for direction from his security people?
By the way, this is an exchange between Joe Scarborough and who's the guy that does the HBO, has been doing it for a number of years? Bill Maher, that's right.
Waiting for direction. What direction was he waiting for?
What did you expect the president of the United States to do? Jump up and run out of the classroom? Oh, my God, we've been hit. We've been hit.
Yeah, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. A president in the nuclear age, Joe, the nuclear age, when missiles can reach us in an hour or less, is told the words, the country is under attack. He's not told what kind of attack, whether it's nuclear, who the attacker is.
But in the case of Bush, despite the fact that one Secret Service agent says we're out of here, they don't move him. He stays there. Somehow that impulse is overridden. The standard operating procedure is abandoned. And Bush is essentially left there as a sitting duck. The invisible government, the coup faction or putsch faction behind 9/11 is in the federal government. But they don't issue engraved invitations to their terrorist actions. They confront somebody like Bush with a fait accompli. What they're saying to Bush is, you've got to go on television and start saying, Bin Laden, Bin Laden, Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, 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 and you will remain in office. If you don't, you may be liquidated at any time.
I listen to George Bush every day. Here's how you know He's crazy. When someone speaks to you and their words don't match their face, they're insane. When he talks about the war in Iraq, he smiles sometimes. You can't do that.
These are not phone calls within the United States. It's a phone call of a Al-Qaeda, known Al-Qaeda suspect.
They're so caricaturish that they seem like characters in a movie.
I'm going to try. This is Joe Rogan, and for some reason he thinks it's classy or cool to swear. So I'm going to try to catch the F-bomb that he drops here. I should have had you run this through and...
Bad action movie. Yeah. I mean, you think about what you've got. You got Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Two people arguably forged in the center of the earth.
Okay, let's skip ahead because I'm scared to death that's going to go out. At any rate. And remember the woman that used to be the governor of what state? Crispin, Todd, Whitney,
meanwhile,
whatever the heck
the government
her name
told
was? Remember what was said? That, oh, no, there's nothing wrong there. The air at Ground Zero was extremely toxic, and experts were urging the Bush administration not to issue a statement that the air was not safe to breathe. Instead, the Bush administration issued the opposite. The air is safe to breathe. Hundreds of rescue workers would later die slowly from lung-related illnesses. Christine Todd Whitman was her name.
Meanwhile, the government told all the workers that the air was safe to breathe, when it wasn't. And now, 15 years later, most all the people who helped destroy that key 9/11 evidence will soon be expunged from the 9/11 record as well, as they all die of lung-related illnesses. No one would have talked. No one would have come forward. All the most elite financial institutions in the United States, the military-industrial petroleum banking intelligence complex, all benefited massively from 9/11. The masterminds of 9/11 understood that these powerful institutions would all benefit from the wars and panic created by 9/11 and would be very unlikely to throw away potential profits by calling any part of the official 9/11 story into question. Moreover, these institutions own and control the mainstream media and have been using their influence for the past 15 years to condition the American public against any alternative views of 9/11. Filled the debate with conjecture, disinformation, and nonsense.
He said, after the recent attacks which the U.S. has witnessed, the U.S. government ventured to point fingers at me, accuse me of involvement.
Talking about Osama bin Laden, this is the statement that he made.
The U.S. government has consistently blamed me for being behind every occasion its enemies attack it. I would like to assure the world that I did not plan the recent attacks, which seems to have been planned by people for personal reasons.
The Bush regime itself proceeded to make up evidence that Iraq was harboring terrorists and that they were hiding weapons of mass destruction. At least, minimally, 600,000 Iraqi civilians would be killed within 5 years based on made-up evidence. And it's much more than that, folks. Much, much more. What did we just try to do with Syria? Bashar al-Assad was gassing his own people, which was an outright lie. And they're wondering why the propaganda's not working. It's simply because you've been caught in so many lies. We know your agenda. We know what you're after. And we can simply sit back and watch it unfold. It's not a mystery. Now, who I feel sorry for in this country are the people that watch CNN. Or MSNBC, or for God's sakes, even Fox News. And they sit there and they think that they're hearing information in order for them to make up their minds. And I, by the way, before we continue with this, just a few more minutes left, but I actually caught Fox News the other day saying that we're the ones that basically give you your opinions. I kid you not. I was astounded. Bush regime would make hundreds of billions of dollars in profit through the Carlyle Group and other insiders who were within the weapons industry. Conclusion, George Bush was a puppet to those who ordered the 9/11 events. Although he may have not had a direct part in the planning and executing the attacks, his role was to help cover up that the government was involved in the 9/11 false flag attack. It is known fact that the CIA made up the word Al-Qaeda in the 80s and that no real organization of any kind ever referenced themselves to being Al-Qaeda. And members must use their wealth to have candidates chosen and placed in public offices who will be obedient to their demands and will be used as pawns in the game by those behind the scenes. That's a Rothschild Illuminati goal. Right there. Used as pawns in the game. You ever notice, by the way, how friendly the Bushes were to the Clintons and the Clintons to the Bushes and the Bushes and the Clintons to Obama? The only odd man out here. Remember what the old man did at the old man Bush when he was sitting there in a box seat in his wheelchair while the debates were going on? Doing the cutthroat symbol across his throat, looking at Donald Trump. George, is your cheese sliding off your plate? You don't think anybody saw you do that? The skull and bones guy? What's in their little ritual room? War. And what exactly do you think that means? And what does that represent? You would think that some little secret group working for the betterment of the country would have peace. No. It is war. You know, folks, if the enemy of this country, you know, the ones we have made enemies of this country, had the ability to strike at us, and some would argue that they'd be well justified in doing it, after killing off, what, 4 million people in the Middle East, over what reason? For 16 years, hammering whatever moved, crawled, was even alive. We would just hammer into dust. What do you think the world is thinking of the United States? Why were they laughing up their sleeves? And they only brought on three countries, Macron in France and Theresa May with, she doesn't know where she's going, and she doesn't take orders too well, and she's losing her composure. When she has to get up in front of the public, she's drinking more water than a horse just walked out of the Mojave Desert. Not really comfortable. But it's control. Now, George Bush, I can imagine he had no direct role in planning. This was all done. It was given to him. Here, you're the president. You got to make the speeches. Get up there and talk. We'll do the rest. And this project for a new American century, folks, it is still going, ongoing policy of the United States government to this day. People are dying at the hands of us in the Middle East. And our supposed allies, rather than going, you know what? We're not down with that. It was phony reasons why you went in there. They're controlled as well. These people to get in these offices, you got to have something on them. In order for you to get up there and collect and get your adulation and your title, we got you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Remember yesterday I was talking to you about what a town has done in Mexico because of the corruption. They had almost 20,000 acres of trees of which they used locally. It was not open for commercial stripping or enterprise, and the police were in on the corruption. It was actually run by a mob. They had the mayor in their hip pocket and the police chief, and they basically took their town back over, ran them out of town, and the civilian patrol now armed walking the streets of that Mexican town. And peace is being restored, and guess what? The timber stands are still standing. Well, let's come to the United States, and by the way, let's remind people that our forests aren't fuel, okay, on an industrial scale. Right now, an emerging environmental disaster is underway across the Southeast. Energy companies are moving quickly to cut our southern forests and burn the trees as a fuel for electric generating power plants. Burning trees to produce electricity is dirty and destructive. It creates more carbon pollution than coal, gas, and oil. It destroys forests and our heritage along with them. You know, isn't it conflicting? We have the United Nations working double duty here in this country to preserve the wetlands and to protect the lands and run us all into cities and box us all up like little lemmings. And on the other hand, the corporate entities are just going around raping at will. Yet in the southeastern U.S., a massive fuel needs of those energy companies could double logging rates and increase carbon emissions significantly, contributing to climate change at a time when we need to be rapidly cutting our carbon pollution. Well, there's part of the propaganda. The point is what they're doing. We know our forests aren't meant to be burned as fuel. Forests are the places where we hike, camp, fish, hunt with our families. Yeah, okay, human use. Hey, I get that. Forests enhance our quality of life and our well-being. Forests are home to native animals, plants, and other species. That's what I would consider to be first. And we're just visitors. Pick up your trash, don't burn the damn place down, and please leave quietly if you will. Plants and other species that will have nowhere to go if their habitats are destroyed. Now, once a southern forest is destroyed through industrial logging, its benefits for our communities vanish with it as well. Burning whole trees is worse than burning coal. Until recently, electricity produced by burning plant material called biomass energy was widely considered an important renewable resource, along with the technologies like solar, wind, and geothermal. But biomass was never meant to include whole trees, much less entire forests. Over the past 2 years, emerging scientific evidence itself has discredited biomass for the whole trees as clean, renewable fuel. We now know that burning trees to produce electricity actually increases carbon pollution, meaning it has an even worse impact on climate than coal or other fossil fuels, and it destroys ecosystems that can never be replaced. Now, our southern forests are being exported to produce electricity overseas. Burning trees for electricity has skyrocketed in Europe. Major European utilities are now burning massive amounts of wood in their power plants. The demand for wood in Europe has resulted in the proliferation of manufacturing facilities across the southeast to produce wood fuel. These manufacturers clear forests, grind the trees into wood chips and wood pellets, and ship them from ports in the southeast to ports in Western Europe. Last year alone, wood pellet exports from southern ports increased 70%, making the southern U.S. the largest exporter of wood pellets in the world. Now, heretofore in this country, our only exposure to wood pellets has been the wood pellet fireplace or stoves to heat your home. Now, generally, what we do is we use wood, chopped wood. So this is just a little different form. But it's something that hasn't caught on, or put it this way, it is not a mainstay of the way to heat a home in America, okay? This is for more off the grid or out of the way. U.S. utilities, now here's where it starts to get bad. They're also beginning to generate electricity from wood as well. Domestic utilities here in the United States are also beginning to burn biomass, creating the prospect of large-scale burning of trees. I think it's time for the utilities to look toward clean, non-destructive sources of power instead. Alternatives, and here's where they run into a problem. Yeah, the alternative. Yeah, we're destroying the environment. I would say there's more destruction going on in the environment by polluting the oceans of this world, where we get the majority of our oxygen on this planet. Should I repeat that? And most people think, oh, it's cutting down the rainforest, or it's chopping down our trees. You know, when was the last time you saw a campaign to plant more trees? What do green things on this planet do? They take the carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen? Oh. Let's take the break. I want to continue with this. There's another associated article. Hypocrisy? I don't know if you can call these people hypocrites, but for a world that needs power, they sure are offering us some pretty crappy solutions.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Now, there was a report here from The Ecologist. Hardwood forests cut down to feed Drax power plant, Channel 4 dispatches claims. A dispatch's investigation has uncovered evidence of hardwood forests being chopped down to provide green energy for the UK. Experts say unique habitats rich in wildlife are under threat as Britain's power stations switch from burning coal to wood. Story by Brendan Montag. Huge areas of hardwood forests in the state of Virginia are being chainsawed to create biomass energy in Britain as the government attempts to reach targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in efforts to tackle climate change. An investigation by Channel 4 dispatches has found. A key part of the government effort to hit its green energy targets is to switch from generating electricity from burning coal to burning wood, or so-called biomass. It's a policy that's costing taxpayers more than £700 million per year through a levy on their electricity bills. The biomass industry and government argue that because wood is a renewable source of energy and trees can be replanted to reabsorb carbon dioxide, the policy is good for the environment. This world is awash in coal, folks. We got the best bituminous coal in the world, out in the Rockies out there. Very low sulfur. And by the way, the technology for the coal scrubbers at the power plants to
actually what it is. It's reburning of the stuff, the smoke that's coming off of burning coal. They actually have what they call scrubbers in there that reburn what's coming up the smokestack. Anthony Barnett, reporter at Dispatch, has traveled to the southern states of the USA to investigate the source of wood that's now being turned into millions of tons of wood pellets to be burnt, in Britain's largest power station, Drax, in North Yorkshire. Footage reveals huge areas of hardwood forest in the state of Virginia being chopped down and removed to a factory owned by U.S. firm Enviva, that grinds up the logs into pellets. A large portion of these pellets are then shipped across the Atlantic to be burnt at Drax in the U.K., one of Enviva's main customers. Now, Britain has pledged to cut carbon emissions by 57% by 2030, and getting Drax to switch from burning coal to wood is meant to play an important part in that. Now, Drax now produces up to 17% of Britain's renewable, quote-unquote, electricity, enough to power 4 million homes. The power station giant claims that burning pellets instead of coal reduces carbon emissions by more than 80%. However, Dispatch has conducted a simple experiment at a laboratory at the University of Nottingham to compare the carbon dioxide emitted when burning wood pellets, similarly those used by Drax, instead of using coal. Dozens of scientists, it found that to burn an amount of wood pellet that would generate the same amount of electricity as coal, it would actually produce roughly 8% more carbon. Biomass is viewed as carbon neutral under the European rules. This means Drax is not obliged to officially report the carbon emissions coming out of its chimney stacks. Yeah. Dispatch has calculated that if Drax were to report on the full extent of its emissions, it would show that last year they amounted to 11.7 million tons of CO2. Now, Drax claims that the replanting of the trees means that all CO2 will be reabsorbed. But scientists, they're cutting down the trees that actually take the carbon. It turns it into oxygen. Okay, I got you. Argue that it takes decades for forests to regrow, and subsidizing biomass from wood pellets in fueling an industry that's making climate change worse in the short term. Now, Professor Mooma, not making it up, Mooma, said in an interview with Dispatches, if we take the forest and burn the carbon dioxide, goes into the atmosphere instantly in a few minutes. It takes decades or a century to replace it. Britain may be on track to eliminating the use of coal, but they're not on track to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions. We're not going to meet our 1.5 or 2 degree target that all governments, including the British government, agreed to in Paris. That's the Paris Climate Agreement there. Burning more wood makes it absolutely impossible to meet that target. You're starting to get the idea here, folks, that this is all a big scam. You know, I honestly do not know what the people of jolly old England are thinking. Or are they thinking? They're being taxed for everything. They got taxes on their taxes that represent a tax on another tax. They're being taxed to death. There is your ingsoc. There is your English socialism for you. Right in your face. That somehow that they can make this great utopia by taking everything that you have. And you've heard me on this very program say this. Obama was a big supporter of this climate change thing. And, you know, he was concerned about it. Well, everybody was pushing for electric cars. Where's Tesla right now? Are they even still in business? Are they still even making cars? And in order to produce that electricity, where does the fuel come from in these power plants to make electricity? You know, even with the government mileage standards, you know, the average car out there, I don't know what it gets, but if you're buying a car that doesn't at least get 25 miles to a gallon, you're probably driving a truck. But we have seen in the past, and this is another, what I suspect, what I would say is controlled capitalism, with the auto companies and the government and the oil industries all kind of working hand in hand, because we have seen prime evidence of cars that were getting 50 miles to a gallon natural. And I'm not talking anything technically, you know, out of this world. We're talking about naturally aspirated engines. Internal combustion engines were getting 50 miles to a gallon. Now, most people will look at that and say, 50 miles to a gallon, great, that'll be good on my pocketbook because, well, I'll spend less on gas. They're not necessarily thinking, oh, you know, the carbon footprint and all this stuff, and we can save, you know, so many. No. They think about their pocketbooks first. But I believe that there's been this ongoing collusion between the energy companies and the auto manufacturers. I mean, really? Internal combustion engines with all the computerized stuff that you have controlling everything? That my little four-banger car can only get 28 miles, 29 miles to a gallon with a good tailwind, maybe 30? When we'd seen full-size Jaguar sedans, heavy, heavy cars, they're not allowed to be sold in the United States, getting 50 miles to a gallon over in England. So it's about money. It's not necessarily about jobs. Not everything that makes money, folks, relates to employment and jobs for people. And I just sat in wonderment when we were going through the gigantic ripoff of the American people through the bankers back in 2008, or that's at least when it became evident and the gig was up because it started to collapse. Been going on way before that. But what was the big push? Oh, well, we're in a position to renewable energies and solar and yeah. When an abundant supply of coal can be burned relatively, I won't say pollution-free, but relatively pollution-free to the amount of energy it creates by its burning. And I've said, give me more for less rather than giving me less and charging me more. The big grand plan of, well, we all need to drive electric cars and this, that, and the other. You know, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and Peter's standing there with his hands in the air going, I don't know about this one. By the way, Russia and China are going to be holding joint military navy drills in the Yellow Sea. Our foreign policy? Yeah, let's drive the Chinese into the Russians' hands and vice versa. And I think Trump has taken the proper approach on this one. That he's trying to redo these trade deals that's going to benefit this country. But as I said yesterday, governments are more interested in making money rather than making war, of which we seem to have a core of people in this country that's all that they want to do. You want to talk about biomass waste? Think of biomass as a human being. Oh God, I just had a horrible thought. They'll start burning them instead of wood pellets. On to Syria. I haven't covered a lot on this, but there was no attack, no victims, no chemical weapons. The people in Douma, Syria, the witnesses, they speak at the OPCW briefing at The Hague. Witness of the alleged chemical attack in Douma, including an 11-year-old Hassan Diab, and hospital staff told reporters at The Hague that white helmets video used as a pretext for the U.S.-led strike on Syria was, in fact, staged. We were all at the basement, and we heard people shouting that we needed to go to a hospital. We went through a tunnel. As the hospital, they started pouring cold water on me, the boy told the press conference gathering at Russia's mission at the Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons in The Hague. Hassan was among the victims seen being washed by water hoses in a video released by the controversial White Helmets group on April 7th. The boy and his family later spoke to the media and revealed that Hassan was hurried to the scene by men who claimed that a chemical attack had taken place. They started pouring cold water on the boy and others, filming the frightened children. What you're seeing, the expression on the children's faces, well, not because they were in pain because they were attacked with a noxious, toxic gas. They were attacked by noxious people pouring cold water on them. There were people unknown to us who were filming the emergency care. They were filming the chaos taking place inside and were filming people being doused with water. The instruments they used to douse them with water were originally used to clean the floors, actually. Ahmad Khashoggi, an administrator of the emergency ward, recalled, "That happened for about an hour. We provided help to them and sent them home. No one has died. No one suffered from chemical exposure." Halil al-Jish, J-I-S-H, Jahish, I guess, a resuscitator who tended to people at Douma Hospital that day, told the press conference that some of the patients had indeed experienced respiratory problems. The symptoms, however, were caused by heavy dust, which engulfed the area due to recent strikes, and no one showed any signs of chemical warfare poisoning. The hospital received people who suffered from smoke and dust asphyxiation on the day of the alleged attack. Nawafak Nasrim, a paramedic who was working in the emergency care, said the panic seen in the footage provided by the White Helmets was caused mainly by people shouting about the alleged use of chemical weapons. Nasrim, who witnessed the chaotic scene, added, "No patients, however, displayed symptoms of chemical weapons exposure." Ahmad Sour, an emergency paramedic with the Syrian Red Crescent, said the ward he was working at did not receive any patients exposed to chemical weapons on the day of the alleged incident or after it. "All the patients needed either general medical care to help with injuries," he said. Sowell told journalists he came to speak at The Hague independently of the Red Crescent and that he was testifying freely and without pressure. One reporter asked what would happen to eyewitnesses and whether they would stay in Europe to testify. He said, "We're going back home and we see no problem with that. The situation is a lot better now. We're Douma residents like many others." Hassan Ayorn, a doctor with an emergency department, said, "Six of the Douma witnesses brought to The Hague have already been interviewed by the OPCW and their technical experts. Russia's permanent representative to the OPCW, Alexander Shulgin, said, the others were ready too, but the experts are sticking to their own guidelines. They picked six people, talked to them, and said they were completely satisfied with their account and did not have any further questions." Now, Shulgin revealed, he added that the allegations by certain Western countries ahead of the briefing that Moscow and Damascus were seeking to hide witnesses from the OPCW, experts did not hold water. I guess that means that their statements didn't hold water. Now, the alleged chemical incident was only supported by the White Helmets. The video and the social media reports from militant linked groups, but the U.S. and U.K., France judged that they had enough evidence that it actually took place and launched a series of punitive strikes against Syria on April 14th. I don't know that they launched anything. I think the United States did, at the behest of England. The U.S. and its allies accused Syrian President Bashar al-Assad of carrying out the attack without providing any proof of their claim. Notably, the strike came hours before the OPCW fact-finding team was set to arrive in Douma to determine whether chemical weapons had even been used there. Sovereign Man, how you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed, John. You know, when you said about shoving China into Russia?
Yeah.
Inside this this cranium, I got a vision of, I don't know if you've seen the series, The Man in the High Castle.
No.
It's a you have seen it?
No.
Oh, okay. It's about what America would look like if Germany and Japan won the war. They actually split the country in half. One half is Germany, occupied and the other half is Japanese occupied. And I got a vision here now. Half the U.S. is half Russian occupied and half Chinese occupied.
That's kind of like a takeoff on America.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, well, actually, I think they did. They did a remake of America, and they were going to have China as the occupying force, and the Chinese government put pressure on Hollywood, and they made it Korea.
All right. Anything else, sir?
Nope, that's it.
Thank
you. Just wanted to share.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. A little different. I don't know what that is. What is that? The board has gremlins. Now, this is a weird one. Police entered a funeral home to unlock an iPhone with a dead man's finger. This is Minority Report stuff here. Amidst a variety of Fourth Amendment and online privacy and protection issues that rapid advances in technology have raised over the past decades, it appears that Florida police, our good buds and pals down there, have just given us something truly unprecedented and disturbing. According to AP, Florida authorities went to a funeral home and used a dead man's finger to try to unlock his cell phone as part of their investigation. While it's easy to imagine that detectives or FBI agents have likely quietly crossed this line before with no one looking, while working murder or kidnap cases, this is perhaps the first time police have entered a funeral home with no warrant and as family members grieved in order to access the body in an attempt to unlock the deceased iPhone. Imagine us. Aunt Nellie or Uncle Bob or maybe Auntie Mame here, or maybe your mother or your father's laying in a casket, and the suited ones come into the room and grab the corpse in the casket's arm and try to unlock a cell phone with it. They couldn't come after hours if they wanted to do their skullduggery. How sensitive of them. Well, it's easy to imagine that detectives or FBI agents. I said, man, I'm getting a vision on this. I'm getting the videos reeling in my head. It also appears that this was done without notification or even approval of family members. Simply put, detectives entered the funeral home and simply did it, though they still weren't able to successfully unlock the phone. The AP described the situation as follows. 30-year-old Linus Phillip was killed by a Largo police officer last month after authorities says he tried to drive away before an officer could search him. And I guess we're not getting into the reason why an officer thought it was better to have a corpse than somebody driving away, but I digress. At the funeral home, two detectives held a man's hands up to the phone fingerprint sensor but could not unlock it. Phillip's fiancée, Victoria Armstrong, said she felt violated and disrespected. Yeah, you think? Phillip's fiancée, Victoria Armstrong, who happened to be at the funeral home when two detectives showed up with the deceased suspect's iPhone, told the Tampa Bay Times, "I just felt so disrespected and violated." She further told the local ABC news affiliate, "So they're allowed to pull him out of the refrigerator and use a dead man's finger to get to his phone? It's disgusting." Further disturbing is the fact that this series of events that led to Linus Phillips' death began when police sought to pull him over and search him merely for having illegally tinted windows. God almighty. Which, by the way, has anybody noticed? Who has most of the illegally tinted windows? The police. So if it's good for the gumdrop, and why am I getting pulled over and ticketed for this? Oh, I know the reason why, because they want to be able to observe you. That's the reason. But can I observe my observers? This is the argument that I gave about radar detectives. I'm sorry, detectives. Got detectives on my that if they're out there blasting me with radar, shouldn't I be able to detect the detectors? The people are actually emanating that stuff? Evidently not. Now, though the family first publicly accused the police of forcibly gaining access to the body late last month, it appears that this allegation has only recently been confirmed and is gaining national attention. The family hired attorney John Trevena, who's been friends with Phillips, to investigate the shooting death as well as the inquiry into the bizarre attempt by police to enter the funeral home in order to open the cell phone. In late March, Trevena provided details to local Tampa newspapers, and it read, once Mr. Phillips died, he was taken to the Pinellas County Medical Center office, or examiner's office, rather. After his body was released to the family, it was taken to Sylvan Abbey Funeral Home in Clearwater. After it had been there a short time, two Largo police detectives came to the funeral home because they were trying to get into Mr. Phillips' cell phone. Trevena said they used the dead man's hand to press against the phone to see if his fingerprint would open it. It was illegal. It was immoral. It was wrong. Trevena said, once the body had been released, he said, the police had no right to touch it. If they needed evidence, they should have gotten a warrant. And ladies and gentlemen, done this after the family members have left? I mean, it's tough enough losing people. It's tough enough sitting there contemplating what your life is going to be like without that person, contemplating that that person itself has lost their life. Their life is over. And you got them coming in to do what? I mean, this is bold stuff. Here's your police state, folks. The end justifies the means. We're in charge. Shut up. Have something to say? We'll either taser you or accuse you of impeding an investigation, and we'll just handcuff you and throw your butt in jail. There's your new police policy toward the public. Now, it also appears that this was done without notification, as I said. The AP describes the circumstances as follows. And, of course, I read that to you. So, yeah, here's the new tactics in America today. First, they tell the police that you're most important, that you have to have the cooperation of the public, and you can get it however you can get it. Forget the fact that you're breaking constitutional law. Forget the fact of just polite public etiquette. That if we feel that you're not being compliant or moving fast enough, we may baton you, but chances are we'll just try to electrocute you, and if you keep resisting, we might do it 18, 20, 25 times. Got a weak heart? Got a physical ailment? You might just end up dead. But you know what? That's the price of you not being compliant to my lawful order. And which unconstitutional lawful order is that one? All right, folks, we're out of time for today. I appreciate you being here. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. We will see you then. Stay frosty, stay alert. Tell 5, RBN is here, folks. Tell 5. Let's get this ball rolling. Let's get a bunch of people educated. And let's get on with life.
Be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.